You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Cynthia Schuster. Last month, Wisconsin's Economic Development Corporation launched a new $1.6 million ad campaign to lure businesses to Wisconsin. They're advertising online, in print, and on the radio in neighboring states. Here's an example of one of the radio ads playing in Illinois.
12,000 years ago, during the late Pleistocene period, receding glaciers just north of Illinois created a unique climate called Wisconsin. While states to the south are generally characterized as flat, Wisconsin rises with economic possibility. A land shaped by fiscal responsibility and gentle, business-friendly tax policy, creating an environment ideally suited to business growth. Make a move to a healthier business environment and find out why Wisconsin at inwisconsin.com.
Since Governor Walker took office, one of his catchphrases has been, Wisconsin is open for business. Here's a clip of Governor Walker at the opening of his inaugural speech in 2011.
As your governor, I make this pledge. Wisconsin is open for business. We will work tirelessly to restore economic growth and vibrancy to our state. My top priorities are simple. Jobs, jobs, and more jobs.
Now, on a smaller scale, think about moving your home to a new state. There are probably a lot of logistics to be worked out. It takes time, energy, and money. Moving a business to a new state likely requires those same things.
So here's the question. Even if the environment for business looks good on paper with low corporate taxes, good infrastructure, and an educated workforce, is that enough to get businesses to make the move? Here to help us answer that question is Stephen Deller, professor of applied economics at UW-Madison. Stephen, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Well, that ad we just heard and this new ad campaign in general, they target three aspects of Wisconsin that is being touted as being attractive to businesses, and that would be low corporate taxes, an educated workforce, good infrastructure. Can you fact check those for us now? What can you tell us about whether those hold water, those claims?
Well, they do. I mean, when you compare Wisconsin to some of our immediate neighbors, those generally are true statements, but my kind of take on this is, so what? One of the things that is kind of a bread and butter type of economic development strategy that's for the state and for a lot of communities in Wisconsin is to try to recruit businesses. And the problem is that businesses just simply don't move that much.
And why don't businesses move a lot?
Most businesses in Wisconsin are actually homegrown. They're here because this is where the business owner lived when they started the business. We did a survey of small rural manufacturers in Wisconsin and upper New England a number of years ago. And when I say small, I mean less than 100 employees. And someone wrote on the side of the survey and said, you find a community you want to live in, that's where you start your business. And that's what drives most business decisions.
In terms of how willing businesses are to move, you know, within Wisconsin and then over state lines, as this new ad campaign is hoping businesses will do, how willing are businesses to do that? What does it take to make that happen? You say it's rare. What does it take?
It really is more of an individual decision on the part of the business owner. There's examples of firms that have moved into Wisconsin. There's one example of a company that makes aftermarket parts for Harley-Davidson. And it was originally, the company was in Chicago, and they decided to move it out to the western part of the state. And the reason is because, well, the person is a Harley-Davidson fan, and he loves riding around in the Driftless area. It had nothing to do with taxes. It had nothing to do with education. It had to do with the fact that guy loved riding his Harley around the Driftless area.
So personal reasons again.
Exactly. There was a major company, Rayovac, in Madison here that was bought out by a company out of Atlanta, and they moved the corporate headquarters to Atlanta. You want to know why they moved the corporate headquarters to Atlanta? The CEO that owned the business or bought the business had a very nice house on a golf course on a lake outside of Atlanta, and he did not want to give that up.
Okay, so you're making the case that it's not going to be a climate friendly to business, but that can't hurt, can it?
No, it can't hurt, but there are, you know, $1.5 million on an advertising campaign to try to attract a small handful of businesses that move. I mean, we're putting the final touches on a study here, looking at firm movement in Wisconsin. And in 2011, the most recent year that we have, there's almost 500,000 businesses in Wisconsin, and only about 5,000 of those ever moved. And of those 5,000, the vast majority of them stayed in Wisconsin. And the vast majority of those moved less than 10 miles.
Are there particular kinds of companies that are more likely to move than others?
Not necessarily. There's a wide spectrum of firms that are moving around, but a lot of times it's essentially the reason that firms move is they start in one facility, and they grow, and they outgrow the facility. And they simply decide, well, we have to move into it. We can't expand here, so we have to move down the street to a bigger facility.
Now, you're making the case that it's hard to get businesses to come over state lines from Illinois, from Minnesota, into Wisconsin. What about a business climate being unfriendly and drawing businesses, you know, causing them to move out of the state? Does that happen? And is that happening?
You can have situations where a community is not conducive to business development. We kind of use the phrase entrepreneurial community. It sounds kind of complicated, but it's really, is the community really a progressive community? I don't mean progressive in a political sense. I mean progressive in the sense that they're willing to try new ideas. They're willing to work together. They're willing to experiment. They're willing to learn from their mistakes. That kind of an entrepreneurial community, those are the kind of communities that will actually have a fairly positive business climate. An example of one that would not be, say a developer comes in and goes, I want to rebuild this storefront, or I want to rebuild this retail establishment. And the people behind the counter essentially say, well, here's a list of all the things you can't do. Go away. Okay. Now, that's not an entrepreneurial attitude. So it's really not so much the taxes. The workforce is somewhat important, but it's really kind of the attitude of the community.
You've studied business movement between the years 2000 and 2011. Now, Scott Walker entered office in 2011. At roughly the same time, Illinois raised its corporate income tax rate by 46%. So is there any reason to think that the numbers that we're talking about here showing little movement would have changed since that tax rate hike in Illinois in 2011?
I don't think there's going to be that much. I mean, you may get one or two firms that move, and those one or two firms are probably going to get coverage in the newspapers, but it's going to be a very, very small handful of firms. There was an example of a large pharmaceutical company in Illinois. It was an Indian company, and the CEO was an alumni of University of Chicago and wanted to locate in Illinois. But the fiscal situation in Illinois was so uncertain that they put it in Iowa. It had nothing to do with the tax rates. It had nothing to do with the labor force. It had to do with the fact that the Illinois fiscal house is in such terrible shape.
Now, some people who are dubious of this kind of ad campaign have said it might be better to nurture businesses that are in Wisconsin and not try to lure, say, businesses in Chicago, because really Chicago and Milwaukee are sort of one metro area anyway. What do you think about that critique?
That's actually a fair one. A lot of the businesses that have moved into Wisconsin have tended to move just over the border. Look at Stillwater and Hudson, Stillwater, Minnesota, and Hudson, Wisconsin. You see a number of firms that are jumping back and forth. But it's simply, again, it's that within that 5-mile, 10-mile radius, they just happen to find a better facility on the other side of the state line.
And we just heard that ad coming into the interview, one of the new ads from the campaign. Hearing that, if you're a business owner, you're close to the border here in Wisconsin, is that going to sway you at all?
If I was a business owner, no, it wouldn't at all.
Anything that would?
No, because I'm really looking at what is going to make my business the most profitable. And while we say things like taxes are important, in the bigger scheme of things, they're really actually quite small.
Well, we're speaking right now with Steve Deller, professor of applied economics at UW-Madison, about whether out-of-state companies are being lured to Wisconsin. Governor Walker has marketed the state as attractive for business since he entered the office, and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is spending millions of dollars on ad campaigns trying to get companies to move here to Wisconsin.
And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a business owner? Are there policies that would lure you from one state to another? Consider the investment that moving requires. How big would the benefit have to be in order to do so? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We're back with Steve Deller, professor of applied economics at UW-Madison. We're talking about whether state companies are actually moving to Wisconsin based on the lure of a better business climate. Now, Governor Walker has marketed the state as attractive for business since he entered office, and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation is spending millions of dollars on ad campaigns to try to get companies to move here. This is an ad from that campaign.
12,000 years ago, during the late Pleistocene period, receding glaciers just north of Illinois created a unique climate called Wisconsin. While states to the south are generally characterized as flat, Wisconsin rises with economic possibility. A land shaped by fiscal responsibility and gentle business-friendly tax policy, creating an environment ideally suited to business growth. Make a move to a healthier business environment and find out why Wisconsin at inwisconsin.com.
And we'd like to hear from you on this at 800-642-1234. What do you make of ads like these? What would it take for you to lure your business to another state? 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org.
We're going to go right to our phones now and take a call from Thomas in Madison. Hi, Thomas.
Yes. Can you hear me okay? I'm sorry, my phone might be a little...
You're coming through pretty clear. I think we got you.
Okay. Yes, I'm an independent business owner. I have a new patented product that helps with fuel supplement systems with a hydrogen generator. It's a new design. I was looking to put down roots in Madison for the last year while we finished the product, but I've recently found a better deal in Youngstown, Ohio, and this is mainly because of several factors. The conservatives in Wisconsin State have been allowing illegal taxi companies, which are kind of competitive with the product I'm trying to market, companies like Uber and Lyft. I know this also has to do with a lot of non-conservatives in the Madison area, too, who support these companies. But then also, as far as incentives go, I've for a new product development and marketing, I've found a much better deal in Ohio. I just haven't seen any of these incentives that Walker is talking about. It's basically all talk. And then when I look at the taxes, the new product, and, of course, I'm marketing a new fuel product, essentially, and that's at odds with the conservative front.
Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing your experience there with us, Thomas. Thomas saying he's not seeing the perks that we're hearing about, that Wisconsin is friendly for businesses in terms of taxes, workforce, and infrastructure. He was lured away to Ohio. What do you make of that story?
Well, I mean, you will always find individual exceptions to the general rule. I mean, for example, you know, of the 500,000 businesses that are in Wisconsin, I mean, there are about 5,000, 6,000 that do move in and out of the state. But, you know, in terms of percentages, it's a very small percent. I will say one thing, though, in terms of the incentives, is that this is something that Wisconsin has not gotten into, is these high-stake incentive games to try to recruit businesses. You know, the classic is South Carolina going after BMW or Alabama going after Mercedes. I mean, some of the incentives get to be so big that it's they'll never pay for themselves. I'm glad Wisconsin does not play that game.
As far as the motivation of an ad campaign like this and getting, you know, businesses to try to move from other states, is there motivation for the appearance of a good, people moving here looking better in the media versus, you know, what it might look like if businesses grew that were already here? Does one get a better headline?
I think that's one of the frustrations, is that when a business does move in, tends to draw media attention. If you have 10 businesses, each one with 5 employees, and the state or local agency works with those 10 businesses and helps them grow and, say, doubles their employment, so there's 50 new jobs, or you have a business that moves in from Chicago that has 50 jobs, which one gets the media attention? Which one gets in the newspaper? It's the one that gets recruited. And what do you know, I'm talking generally here, but, you know, politicians like to get that kind of attention. So there's an incentive to try to go whale hunting and hit that whale, because that will draw lots of attention. Whereas getting, you know, those smaller businesses that are homegrown and helping those smaller businesses that are will grow, you won't see that. It's kind of in the mix, and it won't come out.
Harder to talk about. Okay, well, thank you for that call, Thomas, and we'll go next to Tatiana in Spring Green. Hi, Tatiana.
Hi. It seems to me like they're trying to kind of dumb down the children with taking away some of our public education money and deregulating things. And I think we should use the talent that we have here, which is pretty unique, along with the lands that we have. My backyard, sometimes I watch The Lord of the Rings or whatever, and I look at it and I think, this could be filmed in my backyard. Why are we not bringing the film industry in here and using our local acting talent, like from American Players Theater and some of the other places? We could be involving the writers and filmmakers and really creative people that are here, and use, instead of destroying the land that we have, using the beautiful things that we have, like the seasons and the valleys and the rocks and the rivers and streams.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, Tatiana, for sharing that with us. And one of the things I think Tatiana was getting there is Wisconsin friendly to the so-called creative class?
I think it is. We generally think of Wisconsin as cold and snowy, and people don't want to live here. And it's actually, rather than looking at the weather as a liability, we should be thinking of it as an asset and promoting it as a winter wonderland. And there's actually been some success in the very northern part of the state of trying to turn the thinking around and trying to promote what's called boomerang migration. Local folks that have gone off to college, gone off, established a career, and then try to lure them back. And the way you lure them back is say, look at all the great winter recreation we have here.
That would have played well last winter for sure.
Yes,
we're
it would.
Waiting
well,
to see about
I'm not
this
sure
winter.
About the cold, but the snow, yes.
Right. All right. Well, let's. Well, thank you for that call, Tatiana. One last quick call from Jeff in Janesville. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I am a business owner. I have a company in a division in Wisconsin that we opened 2 years ago. We've had a division in Colorado that we have had for almost 5 years now. We absolutely look at the differences between the two states when we are making decisions about growth. And it's one of the reasons that we opened a facility in the state of Wisconsin. Yes, taxes are not the only thing. There are a lot of factors that come into it. Certainly the overall business climate that Governor Walker is trying to put in place by saying we are friendly to business is something that we see. I also have a friend who owns a company in Illinois. He's been in Illinois for over 20 years. He is currently in the process of looking for land to move his company north of the border for the same reason. He sees a better business climate up here in Wisconsin than he sees in the state of Illinois.
And so, Jeff, real quickly, do you think that an ad campaign like the one we heard would help get the word out about what you consider a business-friendly climate here in Wisconsin?
I think it definitely would. Most people think there's not a lot of differences between communities or counties or states when it comes to, you know, the types of advantage, opportunities, and support that you get.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate your comments, and thank you for sharing that with us. Stephen, Republicans in Wisconsin's legislature have said they plan to take up right-to-work legislation at the start of the coming session, which starts in a couple of weeks. Now, one of the arguments usually made for that kind of legislation by supporters of the legislation is that it makes states more competitive. Now, do you think that passing right to work would do anything to encourage businesses to relocate to Wisconsin?
Yes and no. Like any good economist, it depends. If the idea is to draw in and promote lower paying manufacturing jobs, then yes, right to work has proven to be somewhat effective. If the goal is to bring in higher wage professional type jobs, then right to work doesn't really do anything. Right to work is really not an economic development strategy. It's really more of a philosophical argument about whether or not people should be forced to join a union if they don't want to. I think that trying to sell it as an economic development strategy, there just isn't the evidence to support that.
Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
We've been speaking with Stephen Deller, professor of applied economics at UW-Madison.